Caleb and I were talking earlier this morning about, we'd been laying irrigation pipe this morning, and we were hot and sweaty and everything and running around. And I said, you know, we were talking about just God's, his grace and his means of grace, and the church being one of those things, and how coming in the middle of the week on Wednesday night to a cool building with people that you love really is kind of that blessing. I mean, for us anyway, when you're just hot and sweaty and smelly all day, and then you kind of get a place to relax. And so, you know, it is kind of a, I guess, in some ways, a taste of things to come. So it is nice. The first thing I have in my notes says, I'll be brief tonight. So, it is kind of dangerous. Yeah, she said she was going to have timer cards for me.
What's it mean when the train takes its watch off?
So if I set my phone up here with a... So yeah, so anytime, yeah, just yell, be done, stop. It probably is, for the most part, pretty brief. Just have some verses to look at here a little bit. Just with some thoughts about, with respect to how we live while waiting the return of Christ. There's so much interest kind of now about the events that lead up to the end times, and you know, pastor preaching through Revelation now, and I think that was due to a lot of requests for that, and because there's so much anticipation, there's so much wonder, and just, you know, looking at the things going on in our world, and people are curious, you know, especially Christians, wondering about these things, and you know, we watch what's going on, and we know that the world is just going to continue to gradually get worse and worse. The things in the world, we know this, you know, Scripture tells us so. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy that the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away, paying attention to deceitful spirits. And again, in 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy that in the last days, difficult times will come. And many other verses too. So we know things are going to become more difficult, and we see that. And so with that in mind, it is real easy to become really negative and pessimistic about our situation, about the world. And one of the responses I hear frequently, whether in conversation about these things or hear it on the radio, something to this effect, is that, Lord, come quickly and get us out of this mess. And that's the hope of the return of our Lord. And this past year in Truth Trackers, we were going through 1 John. And I just never necessarily put it together, but in 1 John, in chapter 3, John says, starting in verse 2, he says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, that being Christ, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. And so just thinking about that with respect to sort of the attitude of, you know, just that desire to get out of all the junk going on in our world. Just, you know, that's, you know, because when we have troubles, when we have trials, when things are difficult or things just look bad, you know, we want a way out. But Scripture never tells us that's the reason that Christ is coming. He's not coming to get us out of this mess. That's not the purpose. And I think I like this passage best of all, what John says here. Our hope draws us to, or reminds us to purify ourselves, because he's coming when we don't know. We don't know when he's going to return. He told us that we don't know the time or the hour. No man does. And so we're to be faithful stewards while we're waiting for him. And so this has a purifying effect on the child of God with that anticipation of his return. And especially thinking about this coming from John, when he writes this letter, he's not in the best of circumstances himself. And that's not his response, is that I just want the Lord to come to get me out of the mess that I'm in. John doesn't ever indicate that. I mean, he's exiled and likely doing slave labor wherever he is, imprisoned and exiled and in a terrible situation. So, with that in mind, Scripture has much to say. And just so a few other verses, and we know these really well, but about trials and difficulties. Romans 5, I keep going back and forth over it. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so Paul here, reminding us to exult in our tribulations. And I wrote in my Bible, it doesn't mean that. And I think Pastor mentioned this on Sunday. It's not this fake smile, and that we're not going through it with just a painted on smile. I mean, a trial itself is trouble. That's what makes it a trial. We're not diminishing the trial, but it's to understand what God is doing for us through that trial. And again, it goes back to that purifying work for His children. It is a purifying work. Hebrews chapter 10. And starting in verse 32, but remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. So again, the writer of Hebrews reminding us that we're to endure these struggles and perseverance and for that purification. And so I think we can all realize that we're all in different circumstances. We all have different troubles, different trials, different difficulties. We share in certain difficulties. We can all look around and see the different difficulties, the struggles that the world brings towards us, and we kind of bear those together. But we're all in different stages of our life. We endure different challenges and struggles. And so with that in mind, too, there's always that tension. Paul speaks of in Philippians, and where he says, I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. That is much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is necessary for your sake. And so there's that tension that exists there. And Paul demonstrates that tension. Even Christ, I'm not sure where he says it, but even Christ said, how much longer must I put up with you? And I don't believe it was clearly it's not in an annoyed and I mean, that, but Christ, having living in this world, you know, knowing that his time would come where he would go to be with his heavenly Father for all eternity, you know, what would be better? What would be more wonderful than that? And so there's always that tension that we hold. And I realize that there are those, and we hear of those, and I know there are some who are just ready to go to be with the Lord now. You know, for whatever reason, with age or serious health troubles, and I can't understand that because I'm not in that circumstance. I don't understand it from that perspective. But I realize that that's got to be a difficult, and there's those that are just ready to go. And so, you know, if we're told to endure these things with one another, then, you know, then realizing that and having sympathy towards that. And I, for one, you know, from a different perspective, I desire to see my kids grow and to raise my family and watch my kids grow and learn to love the Lord, become faithful soldiers and serve God in various ways. I'm sure most of you can relate to that too, is having kids, you know, at one point and wanting to see them grow up or now see grandchildren grow. And so that's where I look at those different circumstances and different people in different stages of life or where they're at. And so you can understand that tug and those different desires. And so, you know, again, I think that this just tells us, you know, in Hebrews 10, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing nigh. So, you know, we know the day is coming, the day of the Lord is coming, and so whatever that trial, that trouble, that circumstance is to, you know, for us together to encourage one another in that endurance and that perseverance, and ultimately towards purity, towards being like Christ, and so let's be careful in how we view those things. I've had to, you know, some reflection, whether it's just even on these past few weeks, has been extremely difficult. I, you know, confess there's times where, yeah, I'd have been ashamed had that been the moment Christ returned. And I think about that, and, you know, and so, you know, to apply that and realize those things that we don't know when he's returning. And so whatever that situation is that we're in and whatever we're dealing with going through, you know, to be ready for his return, we won't be ashamed. So that's all I have. You never held up a card? Okay. Did I talk too fast? She tells me I talk too fast.
One time I was with Jim. Yes, Nero was back there. We were driving somewhere. Anyway, I guess we went by a movie theater or whatever. I said something to Jim. Asked about, well, Jim, asked you if I want to go see that movie. He just said, oh, no, brother. I'm afraid the Lord might come back when I'm there.
Well, it's a good outlook, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, true. You have my prayer sheet?
Yeah, I was thinking of Romans 8:18 says the suffering from this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not worth even being compared.
Yeah.
Don't bother. It doesn't begin to compare with the glory that's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's unimaginable. I mean, we can't. Like I said, the best, you know, if the best I could do is to, so the little taste that I get today is that it's air conditioned and we're here together. But that's what a wonderful thought, though, that it's infinitely better than anything that we can imagine. And so what, you know, just that amazing thought to see our Savior and to meet him, and that we'll be made like him. That's, you know, so no longer fighting those, that sin battle, and that's what I look forward to. Not having to fight against the flesh. Any other comments? I like comments. I forgot my prayer sheet.